From WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. It's Friday, August 4th. Coming up, we'll learn more about how farmers in the Midwest are growing shrimp far from the ocean. That story in just a few minutes, but first, these headlines. Construction is underway on a new community to give dozens of people experiencing homelessness a place to live in Urbana. Illinois Newsroom's Reginald Hardwick has more.
Hope Village will consist of 30 one-bedroom homes in the Carver subdivision. Each includes a kitchen, full living room, and bathroom. Claudia Linhoff is executive director of the Champaign County Healthcare Consumers. She told the 21st show the homes are not for temporary residents.
If an individual chooses to stay and live there through, you know, till the end of their life, they will be able to do that. This is not transitional housing. It is not a shelter. It is permanent supportive housing.
Residents will also have access to counseling, a mobile health clinic, and a bus that provides fresh groceries. Reginald Hardwick, Illinois Newsroom.
Hope Village is being built by Carle Health, Champaign County Healthcare Consumers, and the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign, which also holds the license for Illinois Public Media. Illinois will soon start tracking trauma in school-aged kids in hopes of better understanding their needs. Alex Degman reports.
Governor J.B. Pritzker signed the so-called Whole Child Bill. The idea is that children won't succeed unless all of their needs, including emotional and physical, are met. Democratic State Representative Carol Ammons says kids across the state need this.
Children can't function if they're hungry. They cannot function if they're hurting from losing their relative, their brother, and certainly they cannot function if there's domestic violence in their presence.
The new law directs the Illinois State Board of Education to create the Children's Adversity Index to study trauma in kids ages 3 to 19. The index will help direct resources. A task force will reconvene in 2027 to track the progress. I'm Alex Degman.
A former Northwestern football player says he faced intense racial harassment and sexual and physical trauma while on the team. He's suing university officials for enabling the alleged abuse. Lisa Phillip reports.
Ramon Diaz told reporters today the racism he experienced led him to attempt suicide while he was a student in 2007. Diaz is now a clinical therapist.
Children trust their coaches to keep them safe. I trusted my coaches not to lead me into situations where I felt like my autonomy was violated. Abuse that I suffered emotionally and mentally is impossible to measure.
Diaz grew up in Illinois, but he said one teammate repeatedly insulted his heritage and told him, even though you grew up on dirt floors, we don't live like that here. He urged student athletes across the country to speak out against abuse. Lisa Phillip, WBEZ News.
The Illinois High School Association wants to improve the way sports officials are treated by fans, athletes, and coaches. Kurt Gibson is the IHSA's Associate Executive Director who oversees the officials department. He says a survey they conducted earlier this year shows poor behavior is the biggest challenge they face.
That really opened our eyes and made us acknowledge that as an association, we've got to do more to support officials, not only when they're working at any kind of a contest, but also away from that.
The IHSA has joined forces with a Lombard-based organization called Officially Human in hopes of elevating respect for officials statewide. The program involves building awareness and implementing strategies to curb poor fan behavior. Gibson says they hope it will help with retaining officials to address a shortage. Still to come, we'll learn more about how farmers in the Midwest are growing shrimp far from the ocean. That story is coming up next on 217 Today.
Take a deep dive into the meaning and history behind some of America's most quintessential symbols and stories with the series Iconic America. David Rubenstein, who's a lifelong student of American history, examines America's past through the lens of our most emblematic symbols and landmarks. Rubenstein explores the meaning and origins of icons that connect us to our country's past. Friends of WILL can watch all episodes now with WILL Passport. Find out more at will.illinois.edu/passport.
You're listening to 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. Fresh shrimp historically comes from the coasts, but in the last few decades, shrimp farming has emerged in the Midwest, raising fresh seafood on land. And as Harvest Public Media's Lily Halloran reports, the industry has room for growth.
Visitors to Triple J Farms in Forestell, Missouri, must drive down a gravel road surrounded by cornfields before a red barn finally appears. Inside, co-owner Jeff Howell shows me around his shrimp farm. He dips a mesh net inside one of the tanks and pulls out a translucent shrimp.
Can you see right through him? That's just a nice, pure shrimp.
He says these Pacific white leg shrimp are about the size of an eyelash when he first gets them. 90 days later, they're several inches long and ready to sell. They're kept in a hot, humid room with more than a dozen production tanks that look just like above-ground swimming pools. But the slowly circulating water is brown, stained in part by shrimp feed.
The other part is our heterotrophic bacteria that's in the water. That is the magic to this whole thing.
Bacteria eat the shrimp waste and keep the water clean. So clean that Howell still uses the same water he started with 8 years ago. Outside the barn, Howell describes his path to starting a shrimp farm as somewhat unconventional. It started when his father showed him an article about shrimp feed in the Soybean Digest. They renovated this space in 8 months, and now it pumps out 5,000 pounds of shrimp each year.
We can do something that somebody says you can't. So we can raise shrimp in this big red barn out in the middle of a cornfield in Forestell, Missouri.
Howell and his family aren't the only ones, though. Triple J is one of a couple dozen shrimp farms across the Midwest. But most shrimp still comes from elsewhere. Amy Schombach is the Aquaculture Marketing Outreach Associate for the Illinois-Indiana Sea Grant. She says about 90% of the shrimp we eat is imported. Midwestern shrimp makes up less than 1% of the U.S. market. And many Midwestern farms closed after the COVID-19 pandemic and natural disasters disrupted the supply chain.
So that's made it really hard for new farms that are interested in starting up in the aftermath of COVID to have the confidence that they'll be able to have all of the supplies and resources they need to run a successful business.
But Schombach still expects the industry to grow because fresh, locally grown shrimp are attractive to consumers.
To be able to raise a high-valued seafood product in people's backyard is just really an amazing opportunity for farmers.
Some say the industry is ripe for expansion. Carlana Brown is co-owner of RDM Shrimp in Fowler, Indiana, one of the first inland shrimp operations in the country, and she's looking to help others. Brown says when RDM opened in 2010, she didn't have anyone to call for answers.
We don't want anybody else to go through those struggles. That's why we like to help people out. Because I've already been through the worst of it all. I can tell you any way to kill a shrimp. I know exactly how to do that. But I also know how to keep them alive.
Brown and her husband do consulting for other shrimp farms, including Triple J. They developed the process that Howell and 21 other U.S. farms now use.
The more shrimp farmers there are, the more chance I have to eat shrimp out in a restaurant.
Right now, Midwest shrimp farms are mostly selling to individuals, people who will drive even long distances for the fresh seafood. Jackson Kimley, the founder of Midland Co. in Ames, Iowa, says Americans love shrimp.
That's our highest import seafood. My play is that it's worth putting in the work to make fresh, high-quality shrimp available.
Kimley wants to expand his farm through contract growing, a method commonly used in the poultry industry where farmers help grow and sell products for a cut of the profits. He admits growing shrimp on land is not easy, but says it's well worth it for the taste. And he's got a tip. Cook them with the heads on.
It should be sweet. It should be tender. It should be lobster-esque. Shrimp isn't supposed to taste like cocktail sauce. There's actually supposed to be some flavor there.
Flavor that all of these farmers say Midwesterners will never find in frozen shrimp. For Harvest Public Media, I'm Lily Halloran.
Harvest Public Media is a collaboration of public media newsrooms in the Midwest and Great Plains. And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says today will be mostly sunny with a high of 90 degrees. That's it for today. 217 Today is produced by Stephanie Mosqueda. Reporting today contributed by Reginald Hardwick, Lisa Phillip, Alex Degman, Joe Deacon, and Lily Halloran. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Kimberly Schofield. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you again on Monday. Have a good weekend.